grey miasma of Hrull, it is much easier to step right in and sink rather than prolong the struggle. Rincewind let himself go. Yes, that one over there is Eric Strong in the Arm. Over there is Black Zenel. Is Hrun the Barbarian here? Said Twoflower, looking around eagerly. Rincewind took a deep breath. That's him behind us, he said. The enormity of this lie was so great that its ripples did in fact spread out of one of the lower astral planes, as far as the magical quarter across the river, where it picked up tremendous velocity from the huge standing wave of power that always hovered there and bounced wildly across the Circle Sea. A harmonic got as far as Hrun himself, currently fighting a couple of gnolls on a crumbling ledge high in the Cadarac Mountains, and caused him a moment's unexplained discomfort. Twoflower, meanwhile, had thrown back the lid of the luggage and was hastily pulling out a heavy black cube. "This is fantastic," he said. "They're never going to believe this at home."
"What's he going on about?" said the sergeant doubtfully.
"He's pleased you rescued us," said Rincewind. He looked sidelong at the black box, half expecting it to explode or emit strange musical tones.
"Oh,"
said the sergeant. He was staring at the box too. Twoflower smiled brightly at them. "I'd like a record of the event," he said. "Do you think you could ask them all to stand over by the window, please? This won't take a moment. And, Rincewind?"
"Yes?"
Twoflower stood on tiptoe to whisper.
"I expect you know what this is, don't you?"
Rincewind stared down at the box. It had a round glass eye protruding from the centre at one face and a lever at the back.
"Not wholly," he said.
"It's a device for making pictures quickly," said Twoflower. "Quite a new invention. I'm rather proud of it. But look, I don't think these gentlemen would... Well, I mean, they might be sort of apprehensive. Could you explain it to them? I'll reimburse them for their time, of course."
"He's got a box with a demon in it that draws pictures," said Rincewind shortly. "Do what the madman says, and he will give you gold."
The watch smiled nervously.
"I'd like you in the picture, Rincewind. That's fine."
Twoflower took out the golden disc that Rincewind had noticed before, squinted at its unseen face for a moment, muttered,
30 seconds should about do it," and said brightly, "Smile, please."
"Smile," rasped Rincewind. There was a whir from the box.
"Right."
High above the disc, the second albatross soared. So high, in fact, that its tiny, mad orange eyes could see the whole of the world and the great, glittering, girdling Circle Sea. There was a yellow message capsule strapped to one leg. Far below it, unseen in the clouds, the bird that had brought the earlier message to the patrician of Ankh-Morpork flapped gently back to its home. Rincewind looked at the tiny square of glass in astonishment. There he was, all right. A tiny figure, in perfect colour, standing in front of a group of watchmen whose faces were each frozen in a terrified rictus. A buzz of wordless terror went up from the men around him as they craned over his shoulder to look. Grinning, Twoflower produced a handful of the smaller coins Rincewind now recognized as quarter Rhynhu. He winked at the wizard.
"I had similar problems when I stopped over in the Brown Islands," he said. "They thought the iconograph steals a bit of their souls. Laughable, isn't it?"
"Yeah,"
said Rincewind, and then, because somehow that was hardly enough to keep up his side of the conversation, added,
"I don't think it looks very like me, though."
"It's easy to operate," said Twoflower, ignoring him. "Look, all you have to do is press this button. The iconograph does the rest. Now, I'll just stand over there next to Hrun, and you can take the picture."
The coins quietened the men's agitation, in the way that gold can, and Rincewind was amazed to find, half a minute later, that he was holding a little glass portrait of Twoflower, wielding a huge notched sword, and smiling as though all his dreams had come true.
End of CD 1.